for developing an entrepreneurial mindset in children. Come on, let us welcome Mr. Abdullah.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your time. It's really a privilege to be here to share some thoughts with everyone. Yeah, I will say I stand on all existing moral protocols. All those who have spoken before me have actually laid, you know, a very good foundation as to. So I'm just going to be a little bit within the frame of time that has been allotted to me, and I will not overshoot. I was told I was going to be speaking about raising entrepreneurship. In children. Well, I would say personally, I'm a testimony to deliberate and strategic parenting. Even though I had the misfortune, I and myself, and I mean my siblings, had the misfortune of having our parents getting divorced, we still turned out very, very fine. We are three, and it was because of the values that were imbued in us while they were together that, you know, contributed a great deal to how we all turned out. Because most times when I speak to people, try to encourage people, sometimes people think I'm just trying to sound self-deprecating by saying, oh, I'm actually from, divorced parentage. And not many people gave us a chance that we're going to all turn out, you know, very good. Many people were like, oh, this is the way they're going to turn out. They're expecting situations whereby my sisters will bring, how will I put it, have children out of marriage. Someone like me would be a hooligan, maybe a criminal and all of that. But thank God to the rock solid foundation we had. And I can trace some of these things to the fact that, number one, we were raised to be emotionally matured very early in life, and we were raised to be very, very conscientious. And the biblical saying by Solomon that says, raise a child in the way that he should go, and when he grows, he's not going to depart from it. I think that strongly served as a compass for me personally, because, you know, there are times you would want to take a detour, or like the prodigal son, where you just come back to your senses. If you study the Bible, you realize that the prodigal son was not advised, was not preached to. And that is the evidence of, how will I put it, a solid foundation or a proper upbringing. The father just waited, you know, for his arrival that, definitely, and the Bible recorded it that, and he came to his senses without any form of, you know, preaching, service, laying of hands and all of that. So, for someone like me now, I started earning salary at the age of 16 plus. That was when I became independent. And it didn't make me become irresponsible. It didn't make me take to destructive lifestyles and all of that. For instance, there are so many things many of my peers, you know, indulged in or did as teenagers and as adolescents that I never did. I never wore baggy jeans. I've never been to a club. I've never smoked a cigarette. You understand, I don't do peer or group drinking. It's very, very difficult for me to come under the influence of peer pressure. And that was as a result of strong parenting. I mean, good parenting. And we were taught monetary values very, very early in life. It was instilled in us. We had parents who told us what they were earning. As young as I was in primary school, and myself and my siblings knew what my mother and my father were earning. So it made us reasonable very early in life. It didn't make us place unusual pressure on our parents. We didn't throw certain tantrums, you know, that kids would ordinarily true and all of that kind of stuff. And there was something my dad taught me very, very early in life. He said I should pray for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And I could remember vividly praying that prayer consistently for about 26 years thereabout. And I realized that the more I prayed for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, the more challenges, obstacles, and troubles I had. And without realizing that these were opportunities to actually develop myself, my moral capacity to test, you know, some of the, the things that had been inculcated in me as a child and as a young adult. And back then, I think as a teenager, we had the shop, would go to the shop, would make sales. And because of the sense of empathy that had actually been imbued in us, we'll make sales. I'm talking about as in the 90s, we'll make sales running into tens of thousands and we'll go and declare it without taking a cobble out of it. That was because we were properly imbued with a sense of, senses of honesty, those values, ethics, truthfulness, openness, accountability, transparency. By age 12, I could travel. I was traveling from Kaduna unassisted to Lagos, from Lagos to Kaduna. You don't have those kind of stuffs in kids nowadays. You even have adults. You understand, still being taken to the university. Teenagers still being driven in vehicles to the university. And when they come out, this is why many children or many adults today are kind of damaged and still have a sense of entitlement. They finish, they cannot browse the web, look for job opportunities, explore, research places where they can, you understand, offer themselves up for internship, free, and all of those kind of stuffs. Never have I, as any of my parents said, oh, let me put in a word for my son at so-so place, or let me put in a word at for so-so person. One of the things all of us, the children, tell our mom is, see, you still have about 16 years of service ahead of you. Spend your money. Travel to wherever you want to travel to. Nobody has been demanding anything from her for the past 7 years. So spend your money on yourself. And one of the things parents must learn to do and understand is that they must not see children as retirement plans. Many African parents see their children as pension plans or retirement plans. I'm raising this child. Oh, hopefully this child becomes so soft. And then this child starts taking care of me. Children did not beg to come into the world. So parents have an obligation to raise them appropriately. And once a child is properly raised to be empathetic, to be conscientious, to be resourceful, to be developed emotionally and morally, they will become independent early enough in life. Like some of the things you mentioned, you addressed a lot of areas with regards to communication. Like one of the most important things that can actually be imbued in children, especially in the 21st century, number one is the ability to read. Ability to read. It must be imparted in them to develop a love for reading. Once their minds can open up, trust me, a percentage and a significant fraction of the job has been accomplished. Number two, ability to communicate. And communication is not just about eloquence. They must be emotionally matured enough to have a rapport with you. You must be open. If you realize something, you realize when you put African children side by side with European kids, the European kids are more outspoken. Because somehow, while growing up in Africa, we've been told that, oh, you don't look at an adult in the face and speak. It's disrespectful. So that plays a lot of role in, how will I put it, affecting the self-esteem of children. So as a rule, we must be able to speak, communicate freely with children, and encourage them to also communicate freely with us, ask questions, give them time and attention, and as well, walk the talk. If there is any way children learn the most, it is by exemplification. They emulate a lot. Once you tell a child, don't do this, one of the first things they are looking out for is to observe if you yourself are going to do that thing or not. So what imprints on them, on their psyche, the, how will I put it, the most lasting and enduring impression on them is examples. How we live, how we do things in their presence, how we spend money. And that's the issue of accountability and openness has influenced me a great deal till date, even in how I manage business or how I manage my company. I'm very, very open to all my staff, to all my team. I discuss with them. I make them understand this is what has come in. If we don't work hard, we are not going to be profitable. We are not going to earn a lot of revenue to pay people and all of that. And I make sure that I lead by example. So it's very, very easy for me to attract talent. By my 20s, I'd already made a lot of money for myself, legitimate money. When people were saying, oh, it's not, like one of the things you hear a lot of youths today, one of the most common lamentations in the mouth of youth today is there are no opportunities. And parents have actually contributed to it. And you see a lot of parents in the name of love, in the name of loving on their children, they resort to destructive indulgence. He rightly said, discipline is not violence. Discipline is not cruelty. Discipline is good. Everything, you must just understand the true definition of what discipline is. Discipline is training and correction with firmness and love. Discipline is not cruel. If you train children appropriately, you have rest very early in life. One of the things I do tell my wife, I said, if you let's cooperate and train our son properly, we'll rest early in life. Like me, I have a sense of adventure. I want to travel around the world. I want to do a lot of things. I want to raise my son properly, get him, you understand, to maturity, very, very independent, and be able to live the rest of my life the way God has ordained me to live. Yeah, it's the fact. So most of the things, we rob children of their childhood. Domestic chores, it's very, very important we ensure they start knowing the value of domestic chores. Doing basic things, it won't kill them. Like my mom will say, "Ise ipayan, ayo lo npayan." It's pleasure that kills. Work does not kill. Work does not kill. It's pleasure that kills. So we indulge a lot of them, and then they become adults who cannot do. In fact, we are tired of seeing young adults who cannot do basic things. Basic things. Before you know it, you see adults because they are damaged. Now we are having a society where we are practically working to repair damaged adults rather than bringing up very good kids. Damaged adults. Especially in Abuja here, you see guys, sense of entitlement, guys would be saying, oh, no lady. Most of the time, out of frustration, I'll just say, I wish polygamy was ideal. I would have married like 5-6 wives. As a man, you must be a leader. As in, you must be able to inspire leadership in a lady. You must be able to lead her appropriately. But all of this boils down to poor, faulty, and weak parenting. And that is why our country is in the messy state that it is right now. Children will fail a class instead of parents ensuring that they repeat that class. They change their schools or try to rig or game the system in order to enable them go to the next level. And that puts a lasting impression on their mind that it means they don't need to face a problem. They don't need to sit down, work hard, take corrections, and address the problem. And that's where corruption starts from. Trying to game the system. And this is why young people are now finding it difficult, or in some cases, associated to spiritual problems, simple obstacles, challenges of life that are part and parcel or of the process of growth. So they say, oh, somebody is doing me. Oh, somebody must have placed the curse on me. Oh, it's as a result of this. And you cannot be an entrepreneur. And being an entrepreneur goes beyond just, you know, having your own business or making money or employing people. You could be an entrepreneur as an employee. It's a mindset. Entrepreneurship is a mindset. It's all about creating value. Because success is what you attract by reason of who you become. But a lot of people go in pursuit, frantic, desperate pursuit of things. So you heard the previous speaker talking about some people being dynamic and versatile enough to be able to function in multiple roles. I'm that kind of person. I'm very, very dynamic. I'm an agile learner. I can cross-functionally perform in different roles. So much so that once I assume a role, you think maybe I've actually been practicing for years as an expert in that field. And that's how people need to be trained. Not having teenagers and young adults going about complaining, there is no this. I said something on Facebook last week. I said, if there were no problems, nobody would have a job. Nobody, if there were no problems, nobody will have a job and nobody will be in business. It's because there are problems, people have jobs and people are in business. It's because of the problem of ignorance that we have teachers, we have lecturers. So there must be problems, and we must teach children that problems are part and parcels of life. And they must develop the mindset and the habit of sticking with problem to solve it, to find a solution and solve it. Let me end with this quote that you can never run away from your problems. You can never run away from your problems. And I'll still say this thing. It is far, far easier to succeed in Nigeria than to succeed in any part of the world. But the problem we have largely is that many Nigerians are very, very ignorant of Nigeria. Because Nigeria is a developed country, is a developing country. There are a lot of porous things that allows you to succeed because frameworks have not yet been developed to cover them. You can't get away with them in developed societies. You pay tax, you do everything, they own you. Every kobo you earn, you pay tax on it. So it's still easier to succeed in Nigeria, to make money in Nigeria, to be rich in Nigeria, legitimately. So I'm just going to be closing with the fact that parents should not steal the future of their children by denying them the processes that made it possible for them in the first place to succeed. Like one famous person said, he said, most rich people, most successful people give their children everything except that which made them succeed. Thank you.